you say Carter?
Yeah.
Did you say Richard Carter?
No, Ryan.
You said Richard.
No. The weird weapon lifted toward the one-eyed man, its barrel reflecting the pink of the sky.
Ryan Carter, are you saying?
Yeah. And you'd better not point that blaster at me unless you aim to use it.
Well now, I call that mighty big talk for a one-eyed thin man like you, Ryan Carter.
Ryan winced at the noise, finding it made his splitting headache even worse.
You gonna let me through, or do I show you where you stand?
No need, Outlander. My list has your name on it. This door is only for you, and now I'm going to open it.
The corridor had walls of pale gray, a floor of black tiles, and a ceiling of peeling yellow paint. It stretched away ahead of Ryan, as far as he could see. On either side of the passage were rows of identical doors, each with a tiny peephole. Ryan paused and looked in the first one, then the second and the third, moving to the other side, and finding that each peephole revealed exactly the same thing. A square concrete cell with a bunk bed and an enamel chamber pot. The rooms were 7 feet across and had a barred window of opaque armorglass 6 inches wide. And in each room stood a naked person, alternately male and female, with their backs toward the doors. Their hands were manacled behind them, and bags of rough hessian covered their heads, knotted at the sides with purple cord. None moved or made any sound, nor was there a sign of anyone who might have been a guard. Ryan turned away and walked farther along, finding another corridor that opened to his left. It was a blind alley with only 5 doors, and these doors, like the others, had peepholes. In the first cell stood an old man, his head hidden under a sacking hood. On the bunk lay a folded kerchief, bearing a swallow's eye design. The next cell held a man close to middle age, but lean and muscular. On the bunk was a pair of rimless spectacles. A teenager stood motionless in the third, the hood revealing a trickle of snow-white hair beneath it. On his bunk was a dish that held a mess of pallid creatures that writhed and twisted about one another. In the second-to-last cell, Ryan saw a tall, athletic woman whose fiery hair had escaped beneath the hessian mask. On her bunk was a riding crop with a handle of carved ivory. There was nobody in the last cell, but on the narrow bed lay the corpse of a small puppy. From the angle of its head, Ryan could see that its neck had been broken. The man who sat across the table from Ryan was aged beyond measuring. His scant hair was without color and clung to the shrunken skull like moss to a boulder. His eyes were veiled and blind, lost beneath layers of pale, wrinkled skin. The mouth was toothless, lipless, and seemed possessed of a strange, ticking life of its own. Spittle dripped ceaselessly, running over the man's chin and down his scrawny neck, which was wattled like an ancient turkey. He was dressed in a collarless shirt that was tucked into baggy pants, and he smelled of urine and last week's stew in roughly equal proportions.
You passed the gate built only for you. You passed without the word. And now you will witness the last and greatest mystery of them all.
No.
Ryan swallowed hard to contain the vomit that he could taste rising from his churning stomach.
Indeed, yes, Ryan Carter, late of the Vale of Front Royal. I will reveal to you what all men desire and all men fear.
What?
The manner of your passing.
Ryan tried to shake his head, but the pressure on his brain was too severe.
Don't fucking want it, old man.
The tabletop between them was made of cold, dark glass. As Ryan leaned forward to rest his head on his hands, it seemed that he could see flickerings of light and fire within the somber shadows. Once he thought he glimpsed the face of Christy Roth, twisted like that of a tormented soul, with a grinning, thin-lipped skull at her shoulder.
No man wishes it, but you are valued above all men, Ryan Carter, and this shall be your suitable reward.
Why?
Because you are the meanest bastard that ever walked through the Valley of Deathlands. That's why.
I have never taken pleasure in killing.
Even as he spoke, Ryan knew in his heart that it was a lie. He'd killed men who deserved to die, and women. And to leave the earth a little cleaner was always a good thing.
That don't signify doodly squat here, Ryan Carter. Now, look into the middle of this here table, and you'll see how you get chilled, when you get chilled, and where you get chilled.
Ryan looked away.
Don't you want to know?
No. Who are you?
I am now. I want to show you soon. Want to know if you're married? Have kids? I can show you all that, if it's there. But you have to see the end as well as the beginning. Might not be so bad.
No.
Could be you go in your sleep on your 120th birthday, your kin all around your bedside, weeping.
Could be it's in the gutter of some pest hole, looking up at the sky while the rain bounces off my eyes.
Look into the table, Ryan Cawdor, and find out.
Unable to resist, the pain blinding him, Ryan leaned forward over the darkness and watched. The noise faded away. The metal plate set into the floor and ceiling of the chamber gradually ceased glowing and became cold to the touch. The vague mist that had flooded the red-walled armaglass room dissipated. In the control room, filters and thermostats kept the temperature even. The comp wheels spun, powered by the eternally vigilant nuke generators. All things were as they should be. The triple jump had gone bitterly hard for all of the companions, but one by one they began to claw their way back from the swamping nightmares that had enveloped them. Ryan came out of it first. He blinked into consciousness, feeling as though he'd been fighting for hours, hundreds of feet deep in water. He was soaked with perspiration, and a jackhammer thumped ceaselessly behind his temples. His fingers crabbed across his face, and he felt the stickiness of drying blood over his chin. Wisely, he made no effort to sit up. He sensed it would be impossible. The best he could hope for was to open his eye and see how things went with his four friends and the little dog.
Oh, fire blast.
Ryan had seen enough of death to know that Zorro hadn't made it. That wouldn't help Doc Tanner's always tenuous hold on reality. The others all looked as if death had been visiting with them. Christy was moving, hands folded between her thighs, her head shaking as though she were refusing an unwanted invitation. Ryan had never seen her red hair so tightly and defensively coiled about her head. Her angular face was gray with the pain of the most recent jump. Jack was curled into a ball, his hair tangled and stained with specks of vomit. Nothing could be seen of the boy's face, though Ryan thought he glimpsed the red coals of Jack's eyes behind the veil. JB lay flat on his back, as stiff as an oaken plank, hands at his side. He too had been bleeding from nostrils and mouth. Doc jerked awake as Ryan watched him. The old man looked appalling. His face and clothes were smeared with a mixture of blood and sickness, and his deep-set eyes didn't seem to focus. He stared wildly ahead of him with a frightening lack of comprehension.
Doc? Doc?
I felt worse.
Yeah?
Just can't recall when.
Bad jump, that one. I really don't think I'd make it through another one.
Christy nodded and cautiously pulled herself into a sitting position against the dull red walls of the chamber.
I had some triple bad dreams this time, lover. Real dark side. I saw things I don't ever want to see again.
Yeah, same with me.
What'd you see?
Ryan considered a long time before he answered her.
An old man showed me pictures of what he said was... Nah, I can't even tell you, lover. Sorry.
Christy nodded slowly.
I understand.
JB struggled to re-enter the land of the living. He rolled over on his side, boots scrabbling on the floor, while he fought himself into a huddled crouch.
That was about as bad as I want it, Ryan.
I won't argue with you. At least we made it to someplace else.
The walls are a different color. And it feels a whole lot hotter than last time. Hey, Lover, I don't like the look of Doc.
He's come around.
JB rolled over so that he sat next to the unconscious Jack Lauren.
His eyes are open, but he's not seeing anything.
Give the kid a shake, JB, and get him upright. He's puked a lot. Could choke on it.
Right.
The armorer pushed at Jack's shoulder, making him stir. The albino tried to sit up and flopped sideways. JB held him firmly, patting him on the back. The boy's eyes eased open, unfocused, like a newborn rabbit's.
Been sick, pal. Sorry. Tell Ma... Where the fuck are... What?
Bad jump for us all, Jack. Looks like we mostly made it. The dog died. And Doc's not flea-jumping well.
Oh, no more jumps, Ryan. Make them on your own some.
Ryan turned his attention back to Doc. The lined face seemed somehow younger, as if most of the worry lines had been smoothed away during the horrendous jump. The old man pulled himself to his knees, smoothing his frock coat with gnarled fingers. His breathing seemed surprisingly slow and steady.
Doc?
Doc's eyes stared straight ahead, and there was no visible sign